Pamela Edmonds, Dalhousie's latest curator, how are you doing? And tell us, first of all, how is it like being back in Halifax?
It's amazing, actually. This is the first time I've been back in... Well, I came back for a conference in 2017, but I haven't lived here since the early 2000s. I left in 2001 to go back to university. And... it's amazing. I've been, you know, kind of settling in, kind of walking through Halifax. I grew up, spent a lot of years in Dartmouth. My parents are from Nova Scotia. And there's so many memories for me here. And, you know, just kind of going, being back at the gallery here. I worked here as a gallery assistant back in 1998, and there's so many memories that keep coming back to me that I remember, like, oh, I used to hang out with so-and-so here, oh, I saw a show here. And, you know, it's very heartwarming for me to come back to the community that really I didn't realize how much of an impact it had on me until I've come back.
And let's talk about your artwork. What can people expect from your collection this semester?
Well, one of the things that I'm interested in as a curator, and then actually my position is as a director as well, and so I will be looking at shaping the vision and the direction of the gallery moving forward. And my own practice, I'm interested in issues around decolonization, around equity and inclusion. I know those are buzzwords everybody talks about, but this is something that I've been focused on my work for more than 20 years. It's something that was one of the reasons why I got into curating, because as an artist, I wasn't seeing the kind of exhibitions within mainstream art galleries and museums that I wanted to see as a woman of color. And one of the things that I'm excited about and what I love about the direction of the university is their focus and commitment to inclusivity and into excellence around building a civic university. That means being engaged in social and political issues around, you know, Indigenous representation, about African Nova Scotian representation, about building a collection that represents the community that we're in. And so I'm excited to build that.
And how will that be presented through art?
Well, it'll be through exhibitions, it'll be through programs, it'll be through community outreach, it'll be represented through the staff, through the advisory committee, through our governance. Like, it's an integral part of not just what's being put on the walls, but it's also what's, you know, kind of happening behind the scenes as well. And so it's important for me, and one of the strategies that I've always worked from is using collaboration and partnership as a sort of methodology, if I could call it that, is about sharing space and building spaces of accessibility and openness and kind of like rethinking what hierarchy and power is. You know, I think art is one of those areas where there's a real sense of freedom in being able to create something from nothing in a way, you know what I mean? To create a new vision. And I've always found the arts very empowering, even though the institutionalization of it has been, you know, within a Canadian Euro-American perspective, quite, you know, kind of maybe not the most diverse in its history, but, you know, in the last few years, it's really opened up, I feel, and people are welcoming more conversations, difficult conversations sometimes around anti-racism, around how can we look at the things that we're putting on the walls and being more critical around them.
Can you share with us some initiatives and organizations you've worked with in the past?
Yeah, I've worked I'm coming from Hamilton, Ontario. The last position I worked at was at the McMaster Museum in Hamilton, part of McMaster University. And a big part of our focus was also decolonization. We've worked with the Indigenous Curatorial Collective. We had a full-time curator of Indigenous art. And so ideas around indigeneity were very important to how we work together, not just in our programming, but as a team. We had, regular meetings around what is a museum or an art gallery in the 21st century? Like, how can we rethink about what art is and does in our communities? And so, yeah, I work with artists, I work with different organizations. I'm really interested in working with the university departments, like not just kind of being isolated here, working with the creative communities, but also with, with the medical community, with many different types of academic departments, because art crosses so many different areas, right? It's not just putting a painting on a wall. It touches philosophy, it touches the way that we live, it touches politics, it touches so many social issues, the environment and such. So, I'm hoping that we're able to engage in multiple ways with different partners.
And you've had over years of experience. Can you tell me how has art progressed or changed in terms of inclusivity?
Well, I think that I think the last several years under the lockdowns, like, we realized that our public spaces were very dependent on them, to show art. And for me, it was challenging because we were shut down for more than 2 years. Our programming wasn't, we often program many years in advance and had to rethink and pivot and how we are still engaging with our public. So for me, I took a lot of work outside of the gallery into public space. Like, I did community gardens, for example, where I showed art. I did several digital art projects. And so for me, it was important to think about what art can be and how it can live in the public realm. And so it's just as important of what we show in the space, but what's put outside of the space as well. And they sort of feed off each other, I feel. It's not just about holding space within these, multiple walls. I was going to say four walls, but it's more than four walls. But it's important for us to be engaged in multiple ways. Does that answer your question? Yeah.
Can you share with us maybe some of your, I know you said you don't want to talk about favorites because you don't have, maybe some three or four projects that you're proud of and what they represent.
Yeah, an important part for me is, or an important area that I'm interested in is mentorships, curatorial mentorships in specifically, because part of the reason why I'm here is because I had really great mentors like Peter Dykhouse, who's the former director here at Dalhousie Art Gallery, and other curators and artists who kind of took me under their wing and helped me sort of realize, oh, okay, this is what to look out for, and this is how these are things you don't learn in school necessarily. These are things that you sort of learn on the job. And an important thing for me is to mentor upcoming artists and curators. I feel like I've been in the field for a while. I understand, I feel like the art world and how it works and how it can be challenging. It's not an easy field to necessarily be in. It is something that, you have to kind of love, because especially as artists, it's not necessarily the easiest, you know, lifestyle. I mean, it is, and it has its wonderful, you know, its payoffs in that, you know, there's artistic freedom, but at the same time, it's very competitive. There's a lot of rejection. There's only so many exhibition spaces, and so one has to be really creative about how one is putting work out into the world. But favorites, I don't really pick favorites. I don't really pick favorites because it's like that question of, like, you know, when one says, well, who's picking your favorite child or something, it's just, you know, you can't, I don't really do that. I mean, there's work that I'm very inspired by. Artists like, you know, one of my favorite artists is Adrian Piper, who was a conceptualist artist, a black artist, who, she lives in Berlin now, but she did a lot of work around race and identity through the 70s. Jean-Michel Basquiat, who, you know, is a favorite of a lot of folks, who, you know, came up in the 80s, and just, you know, people refer to him as a graffiti artist, but he's somebody who is so conceptually sophisticated in the ideas that he presented around text and language and music, and, you know, so I'm very much interested in bringing, I would say, more of a global perspective to the gallery. I'm very much interested in global conversations around art. Part of what I've focused on a lot in my work is the work of African diasporic artists in particular, black artists in Canada. And I was really proud to be part of a Black Curators Forum in 2019, where we brought together more than 30 Black Canadian curators for, you know, networking, conversation, see how we could support each other. And so, you know, it's important for me to also have the gallery be part of the community and not sort of the idea of this sort of elitist elitist art space, but that how can we work together to be creative and have dialogues around important issues related to creativity and art and all of the things that art engages in. Yeah.
I read somewhere that art is supposed to comfort the disturbed and disturb the comfortable, and that kind of stuck with me.
Right. Yeah. It's a privilege isn't the right word, but it's one of those fields where it is something that can teach us about where we are in the world, you know, and when it's, you know, when it hits right, so to speak, it's so moving. You know, I remember being at, you know, being in museums and galleries, you know, seeing exhibitions and being moved to tears. You know, how many people have the opportunity to kind of work with people who have such vision that, you know, that touches and can change your life, you know? And I feel very fortunate to be able to be around folks, to have those kind of deep and important conversations about the meaning of, you know, it's about the meaning of life, the meaning of the world that we're in, and to be around, you know, there's a lot of conversation around beauty within the art and what's the use of it, and, you know, conversations around, you know, people not understanding contemporary art, and, you know, also a lot of times art kind of being pushed to the realm of, you know, like I said, this sort of elite world. But it's not, when it connects in the right way, it's really about about our common humanity and about preserving our heritage and about commenting on where we are in the world right now. And I think that's important and urgent.
How will your work be different than your predecessor?
Oh, that's a hard one. Well, I think, I don't know if
or the direction of your work.
I would say that for me, I'm focused on again, like, you know, engaging with the Mi'kmaq community, with the African Nova Scotian community, of diversifying the collection. I think I would love to see, you know, more evening events, partnering with, you know, the local art galleries here, like Mount St. Vincent Art Gallery, like St. Mary's Art Gallery. There's so many amazing, NASCAD, of how we can partner together and kind of feed off each other's programming and ideas.
Yeah. And what are some ways, so like, I love art, but I don't have your experience. I guess what are some ways people who are a fan of art can be involved or show support?
Well, they can come into the gallery. That's an important thing. And what's important is not just to, you know, come in once a while, like come often, because I find that, you know, working with artists and seeing exhibitions and walking through spaces, like I see something new every time. And, you know, people come out generally to the opening reception and celebrate with the artists, but it's like come back and come back again and see, you know, how the work speaks to you, or just be in the space.
Can you tell us a little bit about your mentorship program?
Yeah, so I'm looking to work with specifically Black and Indigenous curators, because as I was talking about earlier, you know, I was schooled in European art history, Western art history, and part of the reason why I started curating because I felt a void. Like I didn't feel like I was learning a lot about African artists or Asian artists, or, you know, within the more dominant art history. You know, I learned about Picasso, I'm learning about Gauguin, I'm learning about Monet, but I'm not learning about, you know, so much like artists like Basquiat and you know, like Rashid Johnson and all of these, you know, Edward Bannister, all of these other artists who a lot of European artists were influenced by, but don't really get talked, you know. Van Gogh was very interested in Japanese art, right? And so for me, I'm interested in nurturing and mentoring artists of color in particular, because our work, their work, is often marginalized within mainstream art galleries and within mainstream art history.
I know it's only been your first week since you've been here, but I guess what are some workshops and events Dalhousie students can look forward to as they come back?
Well, we're opening a new exhibition on September the 15th by Kim Morgan, who's teaches at NASCAD. And she's had several projects here over the last few years called Blood and Breath, Skin and Dust. And it's almost like a mid-career survey show of her work, which is exploring the materiality of the body. She engaged with the medical departments here at Dal and is looking at how, you know, using technology, how, you know, there's exploring like the politics of skin, right? The politics of blood, the things that we've kind of become all too familiar with, you know, during the pandemic.
Thank you so much, Pamela. Is there anything else you would like to add for Dalhousie audiences?
Well, I just want to invite people to come in. You know, we want to be an accessible and welcoming space. And I look forward to meeting everyone and just being open. You know, we're in the art building in the basement, so come and see us.